We'd like to welcome you to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder from Lubbock, Texas, co-host of this Nationwide Gospel Evangelistic Effort. Tonight, from Midland, Texas, from the Lee Street Church of Christ, we have a first-time speaker who is joining us tonight. Brother Ron Meredith is one of the assistant ministers at the Lee Street Congregation, where Brother Richard Oldham is the minister who has been on our call a myriad of times. But tonight, Brother Meredith is speaking on the subject, the one church Christ promised to build, from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. So it is my pleasure to introduce to some Brother Ron Meredith. Brother Meredith, preach the word.
Thank you, Brother Flunder, and thank the co-host also along with you. I'd like to thank Brother Tommy Brooks, also Brother Stroud and Brother Wiggins for having me on tonight to bring forth, thus says the Lord. I will be speaking from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. The one church Christ promised to build. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to follow along with me. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse number 13. And the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here it is about 3 months before the death of Jesus. And the disciples have now been with Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus wants to know for sure without misunderstanding if the disciples knew who he was, without mistaking his identity. In verse number 14, and they said unto him, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. For here even Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead, Matthew 14, verses 1 through 3. For the public did not accept Jesus, accept who Jesus was. Many thought he was Elias. Others thought he was Jeremiah. Others thought Jesus was just a prophet. However, Jesus was much more than a prophet. He was the Son of the living God. For Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, he said unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus asked this question and called for the disciples' confession. It was to their own conviction, however, Jesus knew their hearts, for he wanted them to make a statement of faith. For here Peter answered for all of the disciples, acknowledges two things. One, that Jesus is the Christ, and number two, that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 16 and the verse is 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Then Jesus pronounces a blessing upon Peter and the disciples. Bar-Jonah simply means the son of Jonah. Flesh and blood means human being of mankind, letting them know that it was revealed by Jesus himself, by his miracles in his walk in this life, firsthand evidence that God had given them through Christ. Verse number 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock simply means the foundation which Jesus built his church. It was built upon the statement Peter made. The church is built upon the fact, I will build. At this time, the church was not established. It is still in future tense. It was not founded up on fragile Peter. It was part of prophecy long before Peter that the church would start in Jerusalem, established on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the first time the church is mentioned in Matthew's account of the gospel. Jesus had referred to the kingdom. Now he refers to as the church, which simply means ecclesia, which means the called out assembly of people called out from the world by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the gates of hell, Jesus is showing the power of hell he would conquer when he rose from the grave. Hell could not prevent his church from being established. His church would be an eternal kingdom according to Daniel chapter 2, and the verse is 44. Daniel chapter 2, and the verse is 44. And the Bible says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For this kingdom would start here in Daniel, but also in Isaiah chapter 2, and the verse is 1 through verse 3. We will see where this kingdom, this church, would first start. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be established, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The same will be repeated in Micah chapter 4, and the verse is number 5. For the church was already prophesied about, and that it would start in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Whenever Peter spoke the first perfected gospel message, the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For we should go to the core of this message if you pick it up in verse number 22. That's Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 22. Acts 2, and the verse is 22. The Bible says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified him and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. This is the core of the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would like for you now to go from Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 47. Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 27. After Peter would preach the first perfected gospel message, this is where I need everyone to come to. Acts chapter 2, and the verse is verse 47. Chapter 2 and 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all men, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as she should be saved. All the saved are in the church, and that church being the church of Christ. The church being a definite article, the church of Christ. The gospel must be preached, and I would like to give you the facts of the gospel. That 1 Corinthians the chapter is 15, and the verse is 1. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the verse is 1. The Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. but which also you are saved if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After this, for after the gospel is preached, it should be a response that should take place, knowing that our Lord and Savior suffered and died on the cross. For I'd like for you to go back to Matthew chapter 16 and the verses 19. The Bible says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. For here I will give unto thee, give unto you the keys of the kingdom is another way of saying I will give unto you the conditions of admitting people into the church. Matthew chapter 18 and 18 shows that this power was given to all the apostles. Keys indicate authority. Keys indicate authority. That's Luke. The chapter is 11 and the verse is 52. Revelation 1 and 18, Revelation 9, Revelation 20 and 1 also says the same thing. And this authority was exercised on the day of Pentecost to announce Jewish people the terms of the admission into the church. And for the Gentiles, the chapters, Acts chapter 10, the same was given to the Gentiles. As the church in the body of Christ is interchangeable, synonymously, and correlatedly. I would like for you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, the verse is 20, and we will read through verse 23. That's Ephesians chapter 1, the verse is 20 through 23. The church and the body is used synonymous, interchangeably, and correlatedly. The Bible says, and starting in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. To the church, which is his body, the fullness that filleth all in all. For Paul introduces each member of the body together to make one body function correctly. In the body, the church of Christ. In the body, the church of Christ, there are many members, but yet one church. For at this time, I would like for you all to turn to 1 Corinthians. The chapter is 12. 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 12, and I'll start at verse number 12. That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, the verse is 12. But I would like for you to use in place of the body, just put the church. In place of the body, wherever I read through this chapter, I would like for you to put in place of the body, just put church in place of the body. But here we go. For the Bible says, for as the church is one and has many members, and all the members of that one church being many are one church, so also is Christ. Verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one church, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The verse is number 14, for the church is not one member, but many. Now, I would like for you to skip down to verse number 20, and we're going to use in place of the body, we're going to put church in place of body. Here we go. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is 20. But now are they many members, yet but one church. And then if you skip down to verse number 27, we're going to bring this to a head. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is 27. Now you are the church of Christ and members in particular. I would like to reread that verse to show you the one church that Christ promised to build. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is 27. Now you are the church of Christ and members in particular. For we know by this that there is only one church that Christ promised to build. But the church that Christ promised to build was not built without a price. For there was a great purchase that had to take place. But Jesus paid with the great purchase with his own blood. And with his own blood on the cross. For Romans 3, the verse is 23 through 25. I would like to show you this. That's Romans chapter 3, the verse is 23 down to verse 25. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God, knowing that man have always sinned, but he had to find a way back to him through his only begotten son. Now, that's Romans chapter 3, the verse of 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Ephesians chapter 1. The verse is number 2. That's Ephesians chapter 1. The verse is number 2 through 7. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Through the blood of Jesus, we know that we have redemption. For there was a price that had to be paid in order for him to purchase the only church that the Bible speaks of. Mm-hmm. For in Acts chapter 20, the verse is 28. Acts chapter 20 and the verse is 28. The Apostle Paul says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So I showed you that there was a purchase that had to be made. And this purchase was with pure blood, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. For the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in the verses 21 down to the 25th verse, the Bible says, for even hereunto you were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishops of your soul. For through this great purchase, it was a price that had to be paid. For God had to send his only begotten Son, who suffered on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. For Jesus paid it all on Calvary's cross. For Isaiah says, chapter 52 and the verse is 13. Isaiah chapter 52 and the verse is 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And as many were astonished at thee, his visage, the Bible said that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. For his visage, that means that just his countenance, his face, everything about him, he was so marred more than any man. Could you imagine someone dying on the cross and being beaten and being just spit on and ridiculed and dying for you and me? For the Bible says that he was marred more than any man. His visage, that means everything about him had changed. He was beaten so bad on Calvary's cross. He was beaten. He was stricken. He was ridiculed. And he knew the death that he had to suffer was for people just like you and me that is listening out there. For any time that something is given and a life is taken, that's love. For Isaiah chapter 53, the verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty, and that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For by this we knew that Jesus suffered and died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. For they took our Lord and Savior and did things to him that was really inhumane. The Bible says that they took him before Pilate, and Pilate scourged him. They ridiculed him by plaiting a crown of thorns and putting them on his head with a purple robe. And they began to mock him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They smote him with their hands, and then Pilate said that he found no fault in him, in Jesus. Then Pilate said, Behold the man. And the chief priests and officers started crying out, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate said, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews said that by the Jewish law, Jesus ought to die. But Jesus ought to die because he made himself Son of God. Pilate being afraid and went again into the judgment hall. Into the judgment hall and a question and began to question our Lord and Savior. Whence art thou? And Jesus kept silent. And Pilate, fearing not to crucify him, began to say, Speakest thou not unto me? I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to refuse the Jews. For Jesus let him know, You can have no power against me except it was given from above. Therefore they delivered me unto thee. But he that delivered me unto thee have the greater sin. But Pilate, still seeking to release Jesus, cried out the more, But the Jews cried out the more, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," and using Caesar to influence Pilate, and begin to say that thou art not a friend of Caesar, by using influence, man's influence. After Pilate heard them speak, he brought our Lord and Savior to Gabbatha and brought Jesus forward and said, "Behold your king." And they crying the more, saying, "Away with him, crucify him." They began to say, "Caesar was our king," but not realizing that Jesus was the only king. But Jesus laid down his life for the sins of the world. For Jesus had power to lose his life, but he also had power to take it up again. For we know that with this great purchase, that we should all know that there's only one church. Because if Jesus didn't die and rise, then all would be in vain. But there's only one way. There's only one way to get into the church. The verse is book is Acts chapter 2, the verse is 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. For if you want to get into this church, the only church that Christ promised to build, the only church that you can read about in your Bible, the only church that can bring you salvation, and that being the church of Christ, first you must hear the word. Romans 10 and 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now you heard it. Now you need to ask yourself, do you believe it? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now that you believe it, you must repent. Luke 13 and 3. The Bible says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And after you repent, you must confess Jesus Christ, the sweetest name that could ever touch the mortal tongue. That's Romans chapter 10 and the verses 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then you must be baptized. You must be baptized. Acts chapter 2, the verses 36 through 38. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know it surely, that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you must remain faithful unto death." Revelations 2 and 10. Revelations 2 and 10. "For none of those things which thou hast suffered, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." For with this, I would like to turn it over into the hands of the brethren. And I would like to thank you for this opportunity to share it. Thus says the Lord. And I would now turn it over into the hands of our host, Brother Anthony Flunder.